The one condition then that we shall pass from a service full time to an enjoyful eternity is that we use our wills as God wants us to now. He will satisfy those wills when His turn comes. Right now He wants us to conform our wills to His. And that's it. How simple. But there's one more thing left. Why does the world exist? This, by the way, bears some saying. Because we are not, I don't say islands on an ocean. We are not just lonely bodies. I don't know what we would be doing, floating in space. If there is a purpose for our existence, there is also a purpose for everything else. And that's a lot. Like what? Like the chairs we're sitting on. Like the clock that I'm periodically watching. Like the person who is next to you here in the, is it auditorium? So what is the purpose of the world around us? The elements of nature, the sun, that Father Amy described this morning, has just a flame of fire as it rose over the horizon. The powers of nature. What is the purpose of all the persons whom God puts into my life? What is the purpose of the situations we find ourselves in, like the present one? You might give it some other name. Let's be nice and call it a situation. What's the purpose of the pain, the pleasure? In a word, why does the rest of the world exist? Over and above that inner spirit of man which is to use all that is in the world. God has given us the rest of the world that we might use this world wisely. Which means that we might use our free wills in choosing among these things. And, by now most of you know me, in four categories. To accept some things, to enjoy others, to reject still others, and perhaps regretfully to sacrifice still others. God then wants us to choose in such a way as to accept what should be accepted, enjoyed, rejected, or sacrificed. Realizing that not everything, and here is what needs underlining, not everything that we like, God likes. And, to be also said, not everything that He doesn't like, how easy it would be if we too didn't like it. You know, if all temptations and sins were nasty, how easy it would be. Why, we'd have no trouble resisting temptation. Oh, but it isn't that easy. A lot of pleasant things are not always good, and there are some painful things that God knows are good. Hence, to choose wisely. We've still got one more piece left. It's not so long, because it deals with the whole rest of what the retreat is about. How respond to this revelation of God? Revelation tells us also how we should respond. It tells us we are to respond with readiness to do God's will, and so choose us to be sure that we choose those things that lead us to where God wants us to be. How should we respond? Well, according to the way in which whatever is in our lives more surely leads us to where we're supposed to be going. But, and here's what the retreat is all about. You see, what I've just described is a picture. And in spite of the poets, life is not a picture. You don't just look at life. This is not tautology. You live it. Which means we know it isn't that easy or that simple. God speaks and we listen. He reveals and we generously believe. This same revelation tells us we also have to be told it. That we are weak and inconstant. That we labor under all kinds of fears and desires that are more or less out of control. That we need help to overcome these unruly fears and desires. We're talking about freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from ourselves. And that this help is available for the asking. So, the value of a retreat. First, to find out what God wants me to do. Give up, enjoy, or expect, or accept. And I should stress both. What God wants me, nobody is making the retreat for anybody else except that lonely me. What are my besetting fears or passions that need control? If I am to do freely what God wants of me, some people need more humility. The last thing I need is to be more humble. I should go out of myself. And to make a retreat resolution on humility, when that's my problem, is to make the retreat in theory and not in reality. And secondly, to ask God's help to find out both of these things, what God wants and what are my problems. And, best of all, with His grace, to faithfully carry what He wants into practice. One parting word. When we say that God made us to love and serve Him in this life, and to enjoy Him in eternal possession in heaven, we didn't mean to say that He does not want us, quite the contrary, to be happy already now. In fact, that's His, you'll understand why I use the word, His divine bait. He will give us plenty of joy already in this life, not too much or what's a heaven for, but just enough to smack our supernatural lips and say, Lord, this tastes good. And then to eat more. In other words, God anticipates heaven by giving us a foretaste now, but the price for all is the same. His will, not ours, is the unique source of our joy.
This tape was produced by Consortium Perfecta Caritatis. All rights are reserved.